We started with 1 Peter, and now we are going through 2 Peter. 2 Peter only has 3 chapters, and so we understand that 1 Peter prepared us for 2 Peter. And when you look at the first chapter of 2 Peter, it prepares us for the second chapter. And everything we've been doing so far in the book of 2 Peter is preparing us for the third chapter. Y'all there? Do you need some coffee to figure out where the map is? So this whole series, 1 and 2 Peter, falls underneath that category of how to be true in 2022. Both of them seek to remind us of the truth. When Peter wrote to these readers who were struggling, persecuted, scattered, he wanted to remind them of the truth. Yes, I know in your mind you're thinking, and the truth will set you free. But in this particular context, he says, I want to remind you of the truth of Jesus' identity and Jesus' instructions. See, there was a lot of rumors going around. There was a lot of false teachers coming around. He says, you need to remember the truth of Jesus because he says he is the way, the life, and the truth. Then it talks about how to reveal false teachers and false teachings to those readers. And we've sort of built on that for a couple weeks, talking about how we need to be aware. And after we understand what's going on, we need to be aware. Notice the difference of being aware, having knowledge, and the difference of being aware to protect. Like Peter, we're going to try to identify false teaching in the culture today, and please bear with me, in the church today. I was thinking this morning about 80 to 85% of my sermons are expository sermons. We dissect the word in its meaning and application. Today, it's going to be a unique sermon. And I've said that from time to time. But it's not going to be an expository sermon. It's going to be an exposing sermon, where we're going to expose, like Peter, like Paul, some of the false teachings that are in culture today, that are even in the church. We might even be like John in the book of Revelation, where we talked about how he exposed the 7 churches in the end times. We did something right. And so let's start off with a word. How many understand what this word is? Depravity. Anyone heard of depravity before? It's the corruption of man due to sinfulness resulting after the fall in Genesis. Well, today I want to talk about sin. It's more of a generic term, depravity. Because depravity is the corruption of mankind due to the sinfulness that began in the garden. And as it started off in the garden, it began to get worse and worse and worse. Until we read in the scriptures one day when it gets so bad, God's going to have an end to it all. Now we realize that. With Noah, the world was filled with depravity, a sinful condition of man that was like that snowflake up on the top of the mountain that began to roll down and got bigger, bigger, and bigger. And because of love and mercy, God gave us yet another chance. 7 people were able to rescue humanity. And then God revealed to us yet again, even when we have given a second chance, God says that's still not enough. So he sent us Jesus, the only way, the only truth. He's the life. He is the only bridge that brings man filled with depravity back to man with a destiny of being with God. So it's a very narrow path that salvation leads us on. But depravity gets wider and wider. And so here we have depravity. Now, depravity, we see in 3 areas. And we see depravity in an increasing manner in these 3 areas. It first starts with a spiritual depravity. Sin separated you from God. In fact, sin, basically, you are alienated from God, and you had no hope and no future. Sin begins to incorporate more and more in people's lives. It's just that old nature. And then as sin overwhelms a person spiritually, they begin to live in a way of depravity in their life. And they begin to set up their life that fits their sin. Are you with me so far? And that begins to affect culture. Now, what is culture? Culture is that environment in which we create and live in. Well, I didn't create culture. Well, I'm talking mankind. You create your microculture in your own life. And so as sin begins to multiply, or how the Bible says increase, the depravity, understand, it's just that generic overreaching thing. It begins to affect the morality of our culture. The morality of our culture, then our culture is driven by sinfulness. Have you ever heard anyone say in the end times, what was good will now be considered what? And what was evil now will be considered? That is the road of depravity. And Peter remembered hearing Jesus give us four warnings. Paul heard about these four warnings when he spent some time with Jesus, when all he could see was Jesus. Paul warned young Timothy, because Paul knew his time was coming to end. He wanted to raise young Timothy. And he warned him of depravity in the culture. But not only is it in culture, Paul recognized that the depravity was entering the church. When I say the church, I'm not necessarily speaking about brick and mortar, walls. I'm talking about the universal church. We read in 2 Timothy, he says, you should know this. In the last days, they will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others, and there will be no self-control. They will be cruel, and they'll hate what is good, or some translations will say righteous. And they will betray their friends. They will become reckless and be puffed up with pride and love of pleasure rather than the love of God. They will act religious, but will reject the power that could actually make them godly. Stay away from such people, Paul told Timothy. He says, for evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Do you think we're in those times today that Paul forewarned Timothy about? And they were just as bad. They were in Paul's time, and he was telling Timothy that these are happening right now. Stay away from these people. But in terms of depravity, we mean it's getting worse and worse and worse. Now, Jesus forewarned us. He says, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are actually vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Matthew chapter 7. He says in chapter 24, verse 12, because lawlessness is increased, depravity, most people's love will grow cold. Since depravity will be deepening its roots in culture, that will cause the love, the Christians, the believers, their commitment, their resolve to grow cold. Almost reminds me of, I wish you were either what? Hot or cold. The time for neutrality is done. It's over. And then if you remember last week, our last series, Peter warned us in chapter 3 of 1 Peter 1. I know there's a lot of numbers, I'm sorry. He says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everybody who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why are you a believer? Why are you still a believer? Haven't you gotten over that yet? But do this in a gentle way, a respectful way, always keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ will shame their attempts. So today, Lord willing, we need to talk about false teaching today in culture and in the church. Would you say that's easy to talk about? I had a peer send me a Facebook private message because they follow our Facebook page, the church Facebook page, and then I sometimes will share. And sometimes those images are worth 1,000 words, aren't they? And his message to me was, I can't wait to hear what you say about that. You see, what I'm about ready to say this morning is not a universal accepted truth. Things that we're going to talk about or reveal or expose are being taught in some churches, some pastors. I've been walking around different people and I've been asking people questions to help me prepare. And you haven't been helpful. Nothing personal, but you haven't been helpful. Because it's such an ambiguous topic, false teaching today. Anyone been called a false teacher before? Usually you get called a false teacher because they don't like what you're teaching. Or because some preacher told you that you shouldn't like what that other person's preaching. There are false teachers today. We've talked about it last week. So today we're going to address standing true under wokeism in culture and in the church. And when I mention you haven't been very helpful, I'm not talking about every one of you, but people I've asked lately, I said, what's your understanding of the term wokeism or being woke? There's a lot of ambiguity about that. What is wokeism? I've never heard of that before. Well, you may have heard about it in different words, but this term wokeism is a larger understanding. In fact, you could ask yourself, what's under the umbrella of wokeism? And maybe that's what we're going to try to look at today. Some view this thing called wokeism very positive. Some pastors and teachers and churches are celebrating this term, wokeism. How dare I tell you that it very well is under the possibility of false teaching. So if you understand what wokeism is, you might be better prepared than me. If you're trying to figure this out and how it applies to the scripture first, and then to the church second, and then to your personal walk as a believer, then maybe we can go through this together. And what we decide today and what we share today under the umbrella of wokeism is probably going to change tomorrow. It is continually evolving, or what should I say, devolving. Pastors and churches have been lured into a culture of depravity, or here, maybe this, a culture of compromise in the church, where the scriptures are no longer the only rule and authority. It is a rule and a authority as a church. Things that we used to stand for and preach against are now being allowed and celebrated. In fact, even given denominational status. Some pastors, some churches even wave the flag of wokeism. I don't stand here in front of you telling you that I'm an expert of it. I'm as much of an expert in this as I am in explaining anatomy to you, how my created in God's image system works. I don't understand, but it all works and functions together. And I can tell you that I have lungs and I breathe and I have a heart that pumps and I have a brain that sometimes processes things correctly. I know that if I want to move my finger, my brain, I know it all works together. I can't tell you how. But I'm going to try to explain to you what I think and understand this false teaching in our culture and our church means today. So being woke is an ever-changing mindset. I want you to write that down. In other words, what is being shared to you from the outside of understanding what wokeism means, it's ever-changing. It's almost like every month I think something's turned about it. It's a term that's used by supporters, proponents of the cancel culture. Have you heard about the cancel culture? Where groups of people are just canceling this, and that because it just doesn't fit the new norm. Got an example of things that are on the agenda of the cancel culture?
History.
All of our books, history books, are being rewritten. Why? Because for 200 years we got it wrong. Curriculum is being rewritten over and over and over again. Under the term wokeism, you're going to find political correctness. Do you remember when that first came out? That was like a little bit of awkwardness, but it continues to grow and grow. Under the woke umbrella, you might hear of something called CRT. Anyone know what CRT means? It's not a fuel additive. Critical race theory. Now, I've heard people that I respect support it and celebrate it. But most people I know don't understand what critical race theory is. Even in its name, you begin to understand what it might be. How about this? Under this wokeism umbrella, you start thinking about gender neutralizing or gender neutralism. Anyone know what that means? There's really not two genders. There are multiple genders. And if you are biased enough to think there's only male and female, we need to help wake you up. Do you remember the Sunday that I talked about the 23 different agendas? Agendas of different genders? Now I can probably provide 31 different genders out there. And you can bounce in between any one of those that you want. What's happening today? Biological males participating in female sports, breaking all kinds of records. Have you heard, under this umbrella of wokeism, maybe you've heard of anti-race. You ever hear of anti-race? It almost sounds real positive. No, it's not anti-racism. It's anti-race. In other words, there's no race. Now, that's impossible. Think about that. You're born into an ethnicity, aren't you? Culturally, physically, you have race. Underneath it, you also might have this. I got to be very careful because sometimes people like a movement and they support the idea of the movement, but they don't understand the organization and the priorities of that movement. In other words, from the surface, you think that's good. But when you dig deeper into the movement and look at the organization, you're going to find a lot of hatred. And you're going to find a lot of racism. Is racism good or bad? It's bad, plain and simple. You may have heard of Black Lives Matter, right? The Black Lives Matter movement. Other political and social hot topics. So do you understand what I mean by this umbrella of wokeism? And I don't know how much room for additional things are going to be underneath this umbrella. There might even be something by the time we're done preaching underneath that umbrella. These are proponents who are being woken culturally to address the things that are wrong in our culture. And by golly, no matter what, they're going to change this today. If you ask Google or say, hey, Siri, what does... Anyone go off? Mine did. Hey, what does wokeism mean? What is the... Is there a definition of wokeism? You're going to find 3, 4, 5, 10 different definitions. Here's one for you. Being... Did it come up? There it is. Being aware of and acting against issues concerning social and racial injustice, pushing for mass reaction from the public, corporations, and overturning current authority. Now, that's not my definition, but that's one that I found. And when I think and I look back and see what's happening in our culture, I support this definition of what wokeism means. In other words, it's saying, be aware and act against something. And what they're trying to get us to act against is their understanding of what's right. Ethnically, racially, politically. Now, it's important. If bottom line, wokeism doesn't view people as individuals created in the image of God. To me, that's the most important thing for you to understand and write down. And now how they flesh that out is constantly changing, or I want to say the depravity of it is increasing, increasing, and increasing. Because that which we thought was good, true, and righteous is now being called false, evil, wicked, judgmental, racist, bigotry. I never thought I'd be preaching on wokeism before. But I cannot process the book of 1 and 2 Peter without calling attention to what is dividing the church and what is dividing culture today. Some people are celebrating that they're woke. Corporations. And you say, well, I don't know. What kind of corporations are claiming to be woke? Look, go on any Facebook site and say, who's being boycotted? And you're going to find possibly some organizations, corporations, massive corporations that have bought into this wokeness. Not only corporations, but politics. This now is becoming the fuel with a lot of politicians joining the bandwagon of what it means to be woke, as if woke is okay. And I know that can be confusing for you. So, you know, I mean, being awakened to something is probably good, right? Well, if you have people disguising themselves as sheep, I don't want to wake up to what they're peddling me. A new revelation, a new understanding. So wokeism is very important. I hope you understand this. It doesn't view people as individuals anymore, let alone created in the image of God, because there is no room for God in wokeism. It's humanity-driven, humanity-centered, not God-centered. Now, I want to be very careful. Some of the issues that proponents of wokeism put out there, like, for example, racism. Did we, a few moments ago, already establish the fact that racism is wrong? Absolutely it's wrong. 100% it's wrong. And have we as Americans been racist in the past? Absolutely. Sins of our nation. We've been racist. But the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, slave or free. We're all one in Christ. Yeah, there was a time when certain ethnic groups were abused, not considered citizens, let alone humans. That is a sin. I agree with that. But if one culture group who is guilty of that is damned as a culture, I have a problem with that. Let me boil this down a little bit more for you. I'm going to put this up on the screen so you can take a picture of it. When you think about wokeism, you think about these four primary goals or pillars. Now, again, there might be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 by the time we're done today. Number one, wokeism categorizes people. You understand what that means? You put them in certain categories, certain groups. And they have made it very clear in wokeism that you're either male or female, which doesn't make sense, black or white, gay or straight. They organize and clarify, they put people in categories. They identify you. Second, groups of people are then created, and you're identified as the oppressor or the oppressed. So if you have two groups of racial people, skin tone, white people oppressed black people. White people are oppressors. Black people are oppressed. You understand when they group people, identify people, they're being racist about it. Three, in wokeism, it removes all individual and responsible. In other words, the individual who maybe was racist isn't just responsible. All people like that individual are racist. Does that sit right with you? Have you ever met a racist man, woman with white skin? Have you ever met a man or woman with brown skin who's racist? Black skin? And I could go on and on, but then I'm going to be called a racist because I'm grouping people in different categories. I've seen people of all different melatonin levels be racist. But in critical race theory, wokeism, if I was racist, and yes, I have been in past, that is a sin. I don't know anyone who hasn't at one point in their life had to deal with that because of the culture we're raised in. My entire race is that way then. My entire race is the oppressor. And maybe someone who I had an issue with, their entire race is the oppressed. Therefore, all people like me should pay the price and be punished because of who we oppressed. Do you know that Caucasians were once slaves? In fact, I read that almost every people group we have historically record of at one point in time were slaves. I don't know. Any Jews around here? When we understand these premises, it helps us because number four, wokeism sees people as either, this is right happening, you're either anti-woke, and right now they would maybe put me in that category. They are confused. And they would put probably 90% of people in that category. They're engaged. And they're fully committed to reorganized culture. To reestablish culture in an awoken sense. Where there's anti-race. And if you were an oppressor, you owe the oppressed. Do you know what the term is for that when you have to pay back someone for something? Restitution starts with a P. In fact, it's in one of our political parties' agenda that we read one day, appropriation, where one race is responsible to pay back the other race because of sins of the forefathers. Are you with me? Now again, I'm not preaching an expository sermon. I understand that. I don't get a lot of amens right now. I'm preaching an exposing sermon that some will totally disagree with, and I can't wait to see the comments. And you may understand, you may struggle with it today. But if we cannot go through the book of 1 and 2 Peter without talking about false teaching. Are you with me on this?
Amen.
And the church is being distracted and divided over this issue right now. Now, the entire idea or culture of wokeism is being taught to us, ascribed to us. Commercials, television shows. In fact, you cannot have a new television series without certain elements of characters in them. My wife and I have been loving watching METV. They play nothing but the old stuff. Gunsmoke, MASH, Gilligan's Island. You know what I love about those old shows? If Emily's watching it with us, I don't have to worry about two guys starting to make out.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about a commercial for maybe a hotel chain where two men are walking into the room with their son. And she goes, "Dad, what's up with that? How did that happen?" I don't know, but I know that today, after this week, you're going to be able to download an emoji on your phone. What's an emoji? You know those things where you don't really want to type. You just put out these emojis, these figures, and you're going to have a pregnant male emoji. Just announced. A pregnant male emoji. Do you know there's people in Congress that believe and promote that men can get pregnant? Hello? I'm not making this up. There are people who are being sued and thrown in jail because they refuse to do professional services for, let's say, LGBTQ churches who are segregated now because of gender issues. And these are being taught to us in subliminal ways. Our entertainment, our songs, our movies, politicians, government officials, and school curriculum. When I say that, I know you've heard me talk about this before. I'm not saying that all public school curriculum is bad. No, I'm not. But they're rewriting everything. When Emily was in first grade, the teacher forewarned us about what she had to teach that next week because she knew I was a pastor. About how they were explaining the new family units. And she wasn't a proponent of what was in first grade curriculum. And I think she forewarned a lot of parents about that. But if she didn't teach it, what happens, teachers? Yep, discipline or lose your job. So, in case that's not enough for you, I want to share with you something I read about a month ago. Owen Strachan, who is a Grace Bible Theological Seminary professor, he wrote out 7 points of wokeism that he found in critical race theory curriculum. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a Christian man. Oh, yeah, okay. This is a Christian man who teaches people who want to become pastors. Seminary. This is what he wrote, and I thought it was valuable to share because I agree with most of it. And the part that I don't know if I agree with yet because I haven't experienced it. I'm still learning. Number one, racism is normal, not the exception. I've met racist people, but they're the exception. They're the minority. I personally, in my current life circle, I don't know anyone who says, "I'm a racist." Now, sometimes we act ignorantly, but I don't know anyone, no matter their melatonin level, that's racist. Does that mean there's No one out there that's racist? No, there's a lot of people creating racism. And in critical race theory, under the umbrella of wokeism, says racism is the norm. It's out there. And it's overwhelmed. Number two, American racism is primarily due to white supremacy, white privilege. Have you ever heard of white privilege? When someone says, no, I've never heard the term wokeism, I simply mentioned out some of these catchphrases. I said, have you heard of this phrase? Oh, yeah. This phrase? Yeah. How about this phrase? Yeah. White privilege. Have you heard of white privilege? How new is that phrase? Well, it's become very new in popularity and white supremacy. And how I talk about this could be received differently. Have white people been guilty of white supremacy? Yeah, I can show you in history where some people have acted that way, and it's wrong. Totally wrong. Now, that's my melatonin that I was born into. But I can also tell you people with other melatonin levels have also been racist. But the sad thing is that critical race theory, curriculum, then moves on, number three, that all white people are racist. Why? Because there's no more individuality. We're no longer made in the image of God. Do you think God chose my melatonin level? Yeah. If he ordained every day of my life before I was born, and if he knows how many hairs left on my head, I think he would. In fact, he knitted me in my mother's womb before I ever was born. He put me together. But in terms of this false teaching, all white people are racist. Can I ask you, do you think all white people are racist? Do you think any other skin tone is racist? The entire race? No. But since wokeism supports critical race theory and says all racist now, we're anti-race, but if you're white, you're guilty. I thought there was no race. And they're trying to recreate a new culture where white people, or say the white race, is now down on the bottom and paying restitution to all the other races. Well, I thought there was no race. Do you see how confusing it is?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, do you see how convenient it is?
Yes.
Number four. Are you with me?
Yes.
Have a drink.
Water.
On me.
Water.
I needed that break. Number four, destroys hierarchies of power. Why? Because they're all racist. Our government, our American government, was established by primarily one race. Our forefathers. Have you ever seen pictures? How many of our forefathers are Caucasian? I believe all of them. Therefore, that whole system has to be abolished. Number five. So let's rebuild with an anti-race culture. After certain races pay the price of their forefathers' sins. Number six. To silence oppressors and reward the oppressed. Do you remember the Sunday I put the political platforms on the screen? I did not identify one of them. That is part of one. And don't be surprised if one political party begins to talk about how reparations need to be part of the budget because of the sins of our forefathers. Well, if it's not more anti-race, number seven, whites are accountable because of the American history of slavery. I'm going to tell you right now that slavery is wrong. And slavery has been around since humanity. Egyptians, were they slave owners? Of who? God's people. Well, why don't we start with reparations for them first? Have people been abused because of their melatonin level? Yes. And that is a sin, and that is wrong. That is not in the eyes of God. When Jesus came, he did not just minister and teach to people of his olive skin color. And by the way, Jesus was not white. His skin was more enriched with melatonin than mine. I've seen other depictions of Jesus. But the depiction of him being white, blue-eyed, Caucasian male is wrong. It's Americanized. If Jesus' true human face was revealed to you and his melatonin level was dark, would you be okay with that?
Absolutely.
How about some of our former church fathers? Would they have been okay with that? No. Racism is a sin. And because of my melatonin level, you call me an oppressor? That's a sin. So what's fueling all this or supplying the energy towards this is two things, and I mentioned to you already, media and curriculum. Media, you know that April and I homeschool Emily. Out of the five children, she gets homeschooled just after first grade. We made that decision. And the state pays for curriculum. If it falls according to their standards. Now that sounds good, right? You know, if there's anything about Christianity, she can't buy it with state funds. Mentions God, can't buy it. We have to pay for it ourselves. So we use state funds to buy pencils and paper and ink, but not curriculum. She has a history book that is not revised, 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 and revised. Critical race theory separates people, judges people, and does the opposite of what they say they're going to do. It creates a separation between the oppressed and the oppressors. And if you don't know, they'll tell you which one you are. It creates separation between ethnicity groups. It creates separation between sex and genders. And if you don't agree, you're going to pay the price. There's a growing movement of pastors, churches, denominations to identify themselves as being woke. I don't think this next line is for us, but maybe it will be for you. I can provide you four signs or indications to look for if a church or pastor is being woke. I can email that to you or give you a copy of it. So like I said, many topics fall under the heading of wokeism. Have you seen these topics? Conversion therapy. What in the world? Aren't we supposed to convert people to Jesus? Part of this new wokeism, have you heard about Canada lately? Keep on trucking. Now, they just passed a law that was first proposed in California. But since it didn't make California's law, Canada took it. Because, you know, the abbreviation for Canada is what? CA. And the abbreviation for California is? Oh, no. No. Yeah. CA. It is illegal. You caught that, didn't you?
Yeah.
It is illegal for pastors, evangelical pastors, teachers, if someone comes into their office, to their church, and says, "Hey, I am struggling with gender identification issues. I maybe I'm a male, and maybe I'm attracted to other males, or I just don't know who I am biologically." It is Canadian law. Fact check me. Well, don't. See if I'm telling the truth. That it is illegal for me as a pastor to counsel them according to the Word of God. That happened in California three or four years ago when there was an assembly bill. And I told you to call your representatives. Because if that passed here, we might have to use my malpractice insurance because of being sued. If someone comes to our Celebrate Recovery program and they struggle with that issue or any related issue, we're going to tell them how much Jesus loves them and we care for them, and we're going to read the Word of God to them, and we're just going to pray that they find their true identity in Jesus Christ. And in His world, it's a narrow path. God created us either male or female. And we understand in culture today, as depravity spins this world out of control, people will once what was thought was good is no longer true, no longer. And we've been reading about all these passages about what's going to happen in these end times, how there'll be such confusion going on. And those who speak the truth will be condemned. Have you heard about the Canadian pastor who was arrested? Yeah, several times. There is legislation going on right now. Sometimes you read what I post, sometimes you may not. It's up to you. Of all the crazy things that are happening in one of the craziest states of our union. And the initials are, oh no, there goes California again. And we're being told as a church to sit down and shut up. We heard that in the end times, those who speak truth will be mocked and ridiculed. Those times are here. I support laws and I support movements dealing with equality of all people. Every single person, no matter their melatonin level, no matter their gender, no matter their religion, and no matter their confusion. Sadly, we see people who are confused because of how culture has raised them as the enemy. But if my goal in 2022 is to love God and love people more, I need to love every person. That doesn't mean I condone every activity and decision. Who am I to condemn someone for what I think is sin? Oh, the speck in your eye compared to the plank in my eye. So we have this phrase that we want to live by. In this place, come just as you are. And because of Jesus here and His people here, leave better. Yeah. If someone, can I tell you that some good church people had a hard time with us launching Celebrate Recovery? And you think, how could that be? It's such a great program. Well, they were concerned that some alcoholic might sit next to them in church. Or someone who has an addiction will lead someone else in the church astray. Because their sin's worse than ours. We sadly had to say goodbye to people. Good people. But you know what? This church needs to be an infirmary. It needs to be a place where anyone can come just as you are. With all your sin, with all your, I used to say all your sin and your snot when I was a youth pastor. But all your issues. And let's put Jesus in the middle of our stuff. Do you know what I mean? Can you share that story real quick about CJ? Here, you got your microphone? Can we just pause for a second? And Lori shared an experience she had yesterday with us down on Skid Row. And I want this melatonin level lady to share.
Well, I went down to Project 54 with 10 of you guys. That was an amazing trip. I love to do the food line because one of my spiritual gifts is hospitality, and I love that. I was standing next to a lady, and her name was CJ. And there were, I think it was right before they let everyone in, we were talking. I was Tang Lady yesterday.
Tang lady.
I was Tang. I had fun. That was the first time I did that. But I was talking with her, and she says, yeah, I haven't been here in a while. I used to live up the street, on the street, for 3 years. Before that, she was in jail. And she says, that's when I found God. I finally had to stop, and I read the Bible, and I found him. She ended up on the street for about 3 years. She was able to get into the shelter. It took her, I think, a year to get in. From there, she got her life together. She found a job. She now lives in Long Beach and works. And this summer is hoping to get her son back, which is just amazing. But she also wants, she comes back every once in a while just to help out because she wants to give back to Project 54 what they did. But the most important thing is to be able to tell others that walk through that line where she was and where she is now, and it is possible.
Amen. It sure is. And, you know, it doesn't matter what melatonin level she has covering her organs. It doesn't matter if she's a female. What matters is that she found Jesus, the restorer of life. And church, yes, we need to make sure that we don't repeat the sins of our forefathers, that we extend a hand of fellowship to every blood-washed one, and we open our lives to love others and God more than we did yesterday. In fact, Jesus said, how we love one another will prove that we're his disciples. So we need to be careful of two things. How we judge others. And how we want to be seen by others. My name is Bill. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with issues of anger. I'll just say sin. My identity is not in the sin that I struggle with. My identity is in Christ. When I see people coming into this place all throughout the week and find Jesus, it makes my heart go pop, 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 pop. Why do you keep going down to Skid Row? I have nothing better to do. Thanks, Ruth. Because I want to share Jesus with anyone. It could be a smile. It could be prayer. We had prayer lady warriors coming out of the wazoo. I don't know what that means, but it was yesterday. Are you with me today?
Yeah.
It's a little hard. Let's close with four scriptures that should be a guide and a basis for us when it comes to wokeism and everything that falls underneath the umbrella of wokeism. And trust me, there won't be enough room underneath that umbrella one day. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew or Gentile, neither slave nor free. Neither is there male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. You're all one. When God looks at me, he doesn't see me. He sees Jesus enveloping me. Here's another scripture. Proverbs 15:17-5. Those who mock the poor insult their master. Those who rejoice at the misfortune of others will be punished. 2 Corinthians 5:16, the verse right before the very first verse I ever memorized. From now on, how long does that last? Regard no one according to their flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, which we no longer. Don't look at the outward appearance. And don't judge them according to the outward appearance. Try to do what God did and judge them by the inward appearance, their heart. You take my heart and anyone else's heart with different skin, melatonin, or social, economical, all of our hearts look the same. Everything on my inside reflects one identity, how God made me. Isaiah 5:20-21. You may have heard this. What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil. That dark is light and light is dark. That bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves to be what?
Clever.
Listen, church, we can no longer afford members choosing to be ignorant about such things and avoid such things. Praying.